Good morning. The portion of the week is Parashat Emor, and it's on page 683. Okay. The Parashat of Emor has many commandments to Kohanim, as we'll see. In the very beginning, I'm sorry, 683 is not the beginning, it's where I want to start to discuss. But the beginning of the parasha is in page 673. Sorry, 673. And as you see in the very beginning of the parasha, the first pasuk, Hashem said to Moses, say to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron. And there are many, a few paragraphs speaking to Kohanim and different mitzvot that apply to them. We'll come back to it soon, but I want you to go to page 683. This is a perek, a special chapter that has a special name. It's called the Perek of the Moadim, the chapter of the holidays. All the holidays are discussed here. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuot, everything is discussed here. What is told to us about the holidays is their name, date, some of the mitzvot that apply to the holiday, and so on. But it's called the chapter of the holidays. In the midst of this chapter of the holidays, there is something that most probably we would have not put there. And this is the obligation of bringing the offering of the Omer and counting the Omer. Now, what does it have to do with the holidays? It does have a lot to do with the holidays. The Ramban says, not only because it starts the second day of Pesach, which is a day of a holiday, and ends when we get to Shavuot, Shavuot is the 50th day, but the days themselves, being that they are discussed in the chapter of holidays, it indicates to us that there is something of a holiday in those days as well. Meaning it's not regular days like any other day of the week. It's not a regular holiday not doing work like we don't do on the first day Pesach or on the first day Sukkot, but it has an aspect of holidays in it. In fact, the Ramban looks at the whole 50 days from the first day of Pesach, including the first day of Pesach, till Shavuot and including Shavuot as one long holiday. And he says, the 7 days of Pesach, and I'm speaking about seven because I'm speaking about the land of Israel and what's written in the Torah. Obviously, outside of the land of Israel, it's eight. But the 7 days of Pesach are like the first day of each holiday. Like on Sukkot and Pesach, we have a difference between the first day, the last day, and the days that are in between, that are Chol HaMoed, right? So the Ramban looks at the whole holiday of Pesach, all 7 days, as the first days of a very long holiday, right after Pesach, from the second day of Pesach, we start the Chol HaMoed, the middle days of these big holidays, and then we have Shavuot as the last days. So there is an aspect of a holiday in those days, and means that we are in those days now, counting the Omer, between Pesach and Shavuot. I want to take a look into the essence of those days. We discussed it in some ways in the past, and I want to give another way of looking at these days. So the first thing, I want to go into the Torah and see what the Torah says about these days. So we are in page 683, okay, verse number 9. 683, verse number 9. So Hashem spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you shall enter the land, it's only in the land of Israel, this part, that I give you and you reap its harvest, you shall bring an omer from your first harvest to the Kohen. So obviously we speak here about an offering and we don't have today the offering, but when the Beit HaMikdash is built and we are in the land of Israel, we bring a special offering on the second day of Pesach, okay, the 16th day of Nisan, and it's called the HCM, offering from the harvest, and offering from the barley, the new harvest of barley. Okay, now, verse number 11. He shall wave the omer before Hashem to gain favor for you. On the morrow of the rest day, the Kohen shall wave it. The rest day here, Shabbat in Hebrew, is not the day of the week called Shabbat, but the first day of Pesach that is also called in the Torah Shabbat. For reasons that I won't go into today, as I said, we discussed it in the fast and then we elaborated on it. But anyhow, the second day of Pesach will bring an omer. I want to skip the details of the omer, of the offering, okay? And I want to go to verse number 15. And here we start with the counting. Okay, you shall count for yourselves from the morrow of the rest day, meaning from the second day of Pesach, because as we said, the rest day here is referring to the first day of Pesach. So from the second day of Pesach, you should count from the day when you bring the omer of the waving. That's why it's called Sfirat HaOmer, because the offering of the omer is brought on the same day, and Hashem identifies when we have to start counting by connecting it to the offering of the Omer. It's on the same day. Now, obviously, there is an inner connection between the two, but we won't discuss it today again. But on the second day of Pesach, on the day that we bring the offering of the Omer from the new harvest, from the barley, we should also start counting. By bringing the offering of the Omer, we allow ourselves to start eating from the new harvest. Till we bring the offering, we cannot yet eat from the new harvest. We eat from the old one. Now that we brought the offering, we can start eating from the new harvest. Now, let's go. How much should we count? So the pasuk starts 7 weeks. They shall be complete. What does it mean? They should be complete. 7 weeks, complete weeks. So Rashi says that from here we learn that we have to start counting at night. Because as we know, the Jewish day starts at night, like Shabbat, we start Friday night, right? So the same way here, the first day of Pesach, after sunset, after night, it's already considered the next day, and that's when we count the Omer. And as we know, till today, we count the Omer at night. And we refer already to the next day. When I say tonight, today is so and so many days to the Omer, I really refer to the day that starts tonight and continues till tomorrow night. Okay, so the day is 24 hours, starting in the evening at night till sunset the next day, right? So I started at the beginning of the day because the Torah says that it should be complete weeks. And to be complete, it has to start as soon as the second day of Pesach starts, which is at night. And that's how we continue all through the 49 days. Now, till when are we counting? So the Torah says, until the morrow of the seventh week, you shall count 50 days, and then you shall bring a new meal offering to Hashem. That's already Shavuot, it's the 50th day. And then we bring a meal offering from the wheat. Okay, so these are the details, briefly, that the Torah gives us about counting the Omer. It's total of 49 days of counting. The 50th is Shavuot. We start on the second day of Pesach, and we count from the night, every night. So this way, it's 7 complete weeks. That's the information. Obviously, in everything that the Torah tells us to do, the Torah allows us to check what's the meaning of it. So I want to add another detail that we did not concentrate on, and then we'll go into the meaning. The Torah says, Usfartem lachem, you shall count for yourself. What indicates to us that every individual has to count. It's not the Jewish court, the leaders, every individual has to count those 7 weeks, and that's what we do till today. Why? So the famous explanation, and the Ora Chaim HaKadosh brings it here, is that on Shavuot, it's considered the day of the marriage between the Jewish people and Hashem. Would have not been able to say it unless the Torah itself tells us that that's what it is, because otherwise it looks very presumptuous. But the Torah says so. So before a wedding, a woman has to prepare herself and purify herself for the wedding. Till today, it's part of the laws of getting married. The same way we as a nation are heading towards the day of the wedding, so to speak, the wedding with Hashem. So we have to purify ourselves. And being that when we came out of Mitzrayim, says the Ora Chaim HaKadosh, the level of impurity was very, very deep. Mitzrayim was a difficult place, and we were affected. We were in 49 days, gates of impurity. We needed not 7 days of purification, but 7 weeks. And in those 7 weeks, we count them day by day, day by day, indicating to ourselves every day to prepare ourselves in one way towards the great day, going through all of our character traits, all of our behavior, checking it, improving it. So on Shavuot, we are ready for this great day of clinging to Hashem, becoming one with Him. Okay? That's the famous and repeated, always, right? That's the main reason of Sfirat Now, we said it has to be complete weeks. And from here, we learn that we start from the night to count, from the beginning of every day. But the language, tmimot tiyena, they should be complete. Tamim, tamim in Hebrew, wholesome, teaches us also that it affects us. In fact, it is explained that the word sfartem, lispor, lispor is to count. From the same root, samech pei resh, we have another word, which is saphir, which is a precious stone that like shines. And we are told we should perfect ourselves in those days. And by doing the counting and doing it in the way we should do it, we become enlightened. We become wholesome. So it prepares us really for the day of the giving of the Torah. So that's the famous and repeated reason given for it. I want to go a little bit further into it. So originally, this counting was done first when the Jewish people came out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt, the first generation of Jewish people came out of Egypt. And right after, they started to count towards the giving of the Torah. Because when Moshe came to them for the first time to tell them about the redemption, he repeated the words of Hashem, who told him at the burning bush that when we'll come out of Mitzrayim, we'll serve him at this mountain. And it was at Mount Sinai where the revelation took place of the burning bush. So right away, Hashem told Moshe, coming out of Egypt is not the main goal. It's only the beginning of a process. The main goal is to serve me, to come to the point where you'll stand in front of this mountain and receive the Torah. So the moment the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, they started to count towards this day. That's when it happened the first time. And they purified themselves time after time after time. I want to take a look at how did it look, this period of 49 days, at this first generation, at this first time that it was counted. The Torah tells us what happened from coming out of Mitzrayim till reaching Mount Sinai and receiving the Torah. So I want to take a look at a few psukim together and see what was the nature of the period in terms of the behavior of the Jewish people. So we look together into a few psukim. So let's go first to 381. We are going to the Chumash of Shmot, where those times were discussed. Okay, we are after the splitting of the Red Sea, meaning the physical leaving Egypt is done already. The Egyptians are dead, right? Come out of the ocean dead. This is over, and the Jewish people start the journey towards the giving of the Torah. So if we look at page 6, 381, 381, okay, verse number 15. No, I'm not in the right place. I wrote 381. Yeah, I am in the right place. I'm sorry. Verse number 22. Okay, 22. Moses caused Israel to journey from the Sea of Reeds, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. Okay, beginning of the journey, after the splitting of the Red Sea. They went for a three-day period in the wilderness, but they did not find water. They came to Marah, but they could not drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. So there was water in Marah, but bitter ones. Therefore, they named it Marah. And then, 24, that's the verse I'm looking for. The people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Okay. So, what is the story? The Jewish people are complaining. They just came out of Mitzrayim. They experienced the splitting of the Red Sea, and they are thirsty, and they complained. Okay, one. Let's go now to 383. Okay, and let's look at verse number one. They journeyed from Elim, and the entire assembly. Open up. You have to give me a minute, just a second. My computer is not connected, just a second. Okay, let me just close the sign. Okay, sorry. Okay, so they go to another place, travel to another place, okay? And they arrived at the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month from their departure from the land of Egypt. Number two. The entire assembly of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Okay? They told them, "If only we had died by the hand of Hashem in the land of Egypt, as we sat by the pot of meat, when we ate bread and satiety, for you have taken us out to this wilderness to kill this entire congregation by famine." Okay? Again complaining. And then Hashem gives them the money. Okay? So that's the second time. Now let's go to 391. 391. If you look at verse number three. Verse number three. Here it is. The people first served it there for water. And the people
Okay, that's strange. All right, it looks like Mrs. Cohn is disconnected. Strange. All right. I'm going to give Mrs. Khan a call. Hi, you're disconnected. Oh, is Mrs. Khan there? I'm sorry, Rabbi Khan. She's giving a class, but she's disconnected. Okay. Is Mrs. Khan disconnected? She is, right?
Don't see a knee. She's
Yeah, all right.
definitely disconnected. It could be that her computer died. That's why she bent down to plug it in.
Yeah. All right, she's yeah, okay.
Phone number one.
All right, I'm just gonna have, she might not realize it. So let me just email Rabbi Cohen. Sorry about that. She. Yeah, and it was just sudden. It was all of a sudden she was just not there. Right?
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
No, it seemed like her battery might have died, but if that
Is that what it
happened,
was, good Sharon? All right.
well, I
All
know, I
right.
mean, because she went underneath the desk to plug
That's
it
it.
in.
And she
Like,
said
she
she
would
had
know
no.
that. Like, if her battery went blank, she would know her battery. Oh,
Yeah,
there
here
she
she is. Here she is. Wait.
Okay, I'm sorry, very, very sorry. There was a
Okay.
problem with my computer, but anyhow, okay. So here again, the Jewish people are complaining to Moshe and Aaron. As a result of it, if you look at verse number 8, Amalek came and battled Israel in Rephidim. Now, the word Rephidim is the name of a place where the battle took place. But our sages interpret it also and say that it tells us that Rafuya behem midivrei Torah, meaning they became weaker in their connection to Torah. So if you look at this period of time where the Jewish people prepared for the giving of the Torah, where they were heading towards Shavuot, right, towards Mount Sinai, and we say that this was the time that they counted, anticipating the connection to Hashem. We would not anticipate that this is what will take place in this time. It indicates to us that the Jewish people were not in the best of places spiritually, as it seems from what the Torah discusses. And still, this is considered the preparation for the time of the Torah. And we do it today as well. We count those 49 days because we want to reach the giving of the Torah the same way they did. And as we know, the time of the giving of the Torah was the highest, right? It was the best point in the history of the Jewish people. So how do we put the two together? So I want to quote to you a Midrash. The Midrash says as follows. Tani Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, when the Jewish people came out of Egypt, what were they like? What can we compare them to? So he answers, to a prince, a son of a king, that was sick and healed. Now he's okay. He's not sick anymore. So the teacher of the prince, the teacher of the son of the king, tells the king, send your son to school. Obviously, when he was sick, he could not go to school, but now he's not sick anymore. Send him to school. So the king told him, my son is not fully recovered. Yes, he's not sick anymore. But the term in Hebrew is Adain Loba Bni Bezivo. Ziv is the beauty, the shine of the face, right? He's not yet fully recovered. Ella, it aden veit anegmi. Give him a time where he will refine his look, right? And that he will enjoy. It aneg, that he will have joy. Give him about 3 months. Give him, let him eat and drink, and then he'll go to school. That's what the king answered. So says the Midrash, the same way when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, they were blemished because they served Paro, right? Built places. And obviously it's not just physical, right? So Amru lo malachei hasharet, so the angels told him after they came out of Egypt, right after, this is the time, gives them the Torah, right? Send them to school, right? Let them learn Torah. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, no, they are not fully recovered. Their beauty is not fully there yet. Give them 3 months. Let them refine themselves and enjoy themselves. And then I'll give them the Torah. I'll give them the Be'er, the well, the water of Miriam, the manna, and Slav, the meat that Hashem provided, and all his heavenly food that obviously made them more godly. And then I'll give them the Torah. And that's why in Shmot, before the giving of the Torah, it's written, Bachodesh HaShlishi, on the third month. Hashem told the angels, we need 3 months to give them. Let them first come back to themselves fully and completely, and they will be in the best of their strengths, obviously physically and spiritually. Then I'll give them the Torah. Meaning, in other words, yes, they are not yet where they are supposed to be. It's still times where they complain time and again. Amalek comes to fight them for a reason, obviously, spiritual reason. They are not yet fully recovered from what they went through in Egypt, but they are working on it. And give them the time. They need the time. And that's exactly with us. We come out of Mitzrayim every year. We are heading towards the giving of the Torah. We are given a period of time to prepare ourselves and to become what we can and should become. Fine. So in some way, we are not yet who we are supposed to be. And that's another explanation why we start to count at night. Night always indicates times of darkness, difficult times. We are not yet what we are supposed to be. But when we count at night, the Omer, we say, Hayom, today, Yom, Echad la'Omer, a first day to the Omer, a second day to the Omer, even though we are at night. What indicates to us that the very counting, the very work that we put now in these days on developing ourselves spiritually, refining ourselves spiritually, turns darkness into light. That's the power of the counting. Meaning we are not where we are supposed to be. Wherever we are not what we are supposed to be, because we have always more potential, let alone if we did things that we shouldn't have not done. But even if not, there is always an aspect of darkness as long as a person is alive. And that's why he's given more life in order to be able to turn it into light. So the explanation of Rashi on they should be complete days, and this is a pose that we have to start at night. On a technical level, it tells us when to start, when to do the counting. We do it at night. On a deeper meaning, it means, while you are in the darkness, don't worry. Don't worry. Go ahead, count. The very counting, the very anticipation, the very putting a goal in front of us, right? We are counting towards something. We want to come to the receiving of the Torah and be ready for it. This by itself has the power to turn the darkness into light. Now, this class is based on a discussion of the Gerer Rebbe in Tafshin Pei Aleph, 5 years ago. Okay, and he connects this idea to another place in our week's portion, to the very, very beginning of our week's portion, page 673. And it's a fascinating idea. Okay, so it's page 673. And I'm reading the first pasuk in this parasha. We read it before, and I'm reading it again. Hashem said to Moses, say to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, and tell them. What is told later on is, who are the women that a Kohen can marry and who he can't? Who are the women that a high Kohen, high priest can marry and who not? And to whom is it said? Hashem said to Moses, say to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron. But then the Torah says again, and tell them. This seems superfluous. The Torah said already, tell to the Kohanim. Why does the Torah repeat and says, and tell them? So Rashi explains the pshat. Rashi says, from here we learn that the parents are obligated towards their children as well. Among the other obligations that are written here is that they cannot be in the, they cannot touch a dead body. So let's say a Kohen has a child who is 6 years old, right? He has to make sure that he will not be under the same roof with a dead body. He's responsible for his children too. That's the pshat. But the Midrash gives us here an unbelievable insight that I want to share with you. We said many times, when whatever the Midrash says is resolving a difficulty in the Pasuk. It's the same with Rashi and other commentaries. When they say something, they say it because something in the Pasuk indicates to them that it needs an explanation, that we don't understand it fully, or it raises a question and we need to understand it. That's why we ask always, why did Rashi explain it? What was difficult, right? So it's the same with the Midrash. The Midrash refers to this duplication. Say to them and tell them. Why is it written twice? The Midrash does not say what the question is. Rashi also most of the time doesn't say what the question is. It's for us to figure out, right? But they respond to a question. And in the Midrash, the way of the Midrash is that in order to respond to the question, it quotes a pasuk from another place in Tanakh that by learning it carefully, we'll get the answer. And it's the same here. And the Midrash quotes here a pasuk from Tehillim, from Psalms, from chapter 19. We say it every Shabbat morning as part of the prayer. I'll read part of it. Okay. So, for the conductor, a psalm by David. Okay? That's the beginning of many chapters in Psalms. And then, the heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the skies declare the work of his hands. So what does it tell me? Look at the heavens. Look at the sky. You will see Hashem. Right? It proclaims the glory of God. When we lift up our eyes to Shamayim, and we see all the stars, the sun, the moon, how they function, the awesomeness of it, we see Hashem. That's the first pasuk. Next. Each day arouses praise of God, and each night conveys knowledge. So now it tells us, every day, like speaks to another day, yom leyom, every day tells the other day, right? Praise of God. And each night conveys knowledge. Meaning, if you look at the day, you look at the night, you look at the heavenly creatures, right? You hear something. What do you hear? The presence of God, the greatness of God. But that's the next pasuk. There is no actual speech or word. No real voice is heard. We don't hear them speaking. They don't speak in words, but they convey a message. When we look at them, we see it. We hear it without words. Okay? Next. Their path crosses over the earth, and their message reaches the ends of the world. Okay? Being that they are all over, right? Wherever you are, you lift up your eyes, you see the sky, you see the sun, you see the moon, you see the stars, right? So all over the world, you hear there is a God. Okay? The chapter continues to elaborate on this idea. And then the chapter goes to discuss another topic. And this is the greatness of the Torah, that the Torah is complete, that, and so on and so on. I read one or two. The teaching of God are perfect, restoring the soul, rely on the practices God gave us. They make wise the ignorant. It's facts about the greatness of Torah. So it's a chapter discussing two things. First part, the heavenly bodies, sun, moon, stars, and how they proclaim God. And then the Torah and how it teaches us of God. Okay? That's the plain explanation. And it puts the two in contrast, meaning it tells us that more than the heavens tells us about God, the Torah does. Okay? That's in general the content of the Perek. The Midrash takes one pasuk to two psukim that are written here, three, one, two, three, three, four, and five, and interpret this fervor on a deep level and says something very beautiful. And I'm going to read it to you. The Midrash says as follows. The Midrash quotes our pasuk with the double language, say to them and tell them, what indicates to us what difficulty it refers to, why the repetition. And the Midrash says as follows. There is a verse in Psalm, and it quotes the Pasuk, and I'm reading it. The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the skies declare the work of his hands. Each day arouses praise of God, and each night conveys knowledge. That's the beginning, right? So the Midrash tells us as follows. There are 2 days during the year. The first day of Tishrei and the first day of Nisan, where day and night are equal in length, 12 and 12. The beginning of the spring and the beginning of the fall, right, not on the non-Jewish calendar, on the Jewish calendar, have day and night are equal, 12 hours each, okay? Then, what happens after? From here and further, the night borrows, no, I'm sorry, the day borrows from the night, and the night from the day. From Nisan, from the first day of Nisan, when the day and the night are equal, the day becomes longer on the account of the night. So we can say that the day borrows time from the night, right? It becomes longer and longer and longer on the account of the night till Tammuz, till the summer, the peak of when the longest day is there. And then it gives back the loan. It gets smaller, 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 till it comes again on the first day of Tishrei to 12 and 12. 12 hours day, 12 hours night. Then, towards the winter, the opposite is happening. The night borrows from the day. The night becomes longer on the account of the day. It's like taking a loan from the day, right? Till it comes to the longest night of the year, and then it starts to become less long, less long, less long, till again it's 12 and 12. So we have the concept of the day becoming longer on the account of the day and then giving back. Then they are again equal. And then the day takes from the night, right? Till it comes to a peak and then goes down, giving back the loan till they are again equal. Okay? That's the beginning of the Midrash. And then the Midrash comments on it. And the Midrash says, and they give back the loan in a peaceful way. They don't sign a document, a shtar, when they take the loan. Usually when you take a loan, you sign a document. You take a mortgage. How much paperwork, right? There must be a document that indicates that you really took the loan. Here, they lend each other without any documents, peacefully, and they give it back without having to go to court, meaning nobody denies what it took. And when the time to give back comes, they give it back peacefully. Okay. As it's written here, and the Midrash quotes the Pasuk, every day arises praise of God, okay, and each night conveys knowledge, but there is no actual speech or word. They don't have to talk about it. No real voice is heard, no arguments, no discussions. They give each other day to day, night to night, and it's all peaceful. But then there is another pasuk that goes further and says, "Bechol ha'aretz," but on earth, it's not the same. What happens on earth? And now the pasuk will not be translated literally as it was before. I'll read it carefully and translate according to the midrash. "Bechol ha'aretz yatzak kavam." On earth, all over the earth, there are lines. Kavam, kav, kav is a line, meaning when human beings here on earth borrow money, lend money, how many lines are written? How many documents are signed in order to ensure that everybody knows that he lended, that he borrowed, right? And even though all over the world, there are words of arguments in court when people don't give back. Deny, they say they didn't borrow so much, they gave it back already, whatever arguments. Meaning, according to this interpretation of the Midrash, what the Torah says is the following. You cannot compare heavenly creatures to human creatures here on earth. In Shamayim, whatever has to happen, happens peacefully. The day takes time from the night. The night takes time from the day. It's alone. No problem. It's given peacefully and it's returned peacefully. The day becomes longer and then again shorter. It's returning. The same with the night. Here on earth, it's not like this. Here on earth, each time or many times when a loan is taken, It's not returned. When it's taken, many precautions are taken in order that it will be returned. Right? A lot of arguments. Why? Because we have a bad inclination. Now, what does it have to do with our pasuk? In our pasuk, it's written, tell the Kohanim, and then again tell them. Why? Because we are human beings. And we have bad inclinations. And as a result of it, it's not always easy for us to do the right thing. Just struggle. And that's why our life is ups and downs. Ups and downs. So the Jewish people came out of Egypt. They witnessed unbelievable miracles. But they came out of 49 gates of impurity. And even though they desire to come to the receiving of the Torah and to be ready for it. The journey is not a smooth journey. They complain here and they complain there. And Amalek comes and they are not attached to Torah the way they should be. It's natural, it's normal. Don't despair. Because we can create light at the time of night. And that's what the counting of the Omer teaches me. We count the Omer at night when it's dark. And we say Hayom Yom. We call it a day. Because we can take the night, the darkness, the hiddenness of Hashem, and make it into light. Now, what will help us to do it? So let's go back to the Pasuk in Psalms. It's written, Each day a rose is praise of God. And each night, and that's what I want to concentrate on, I am still in the darkness. And I want to come to the point that I'll be ready for the giving of the Torah. So what do the nights do? They convey knowledge. Meaning, in other words, if I want to be able to grow spiritually, I have to acquire knowledge. Knowledge of Hashem. And that's why the Midrash connects the chapter 19 in Psalms, to our week's portion, to Sfirat HaOmer, to the counting of the Omer, to speaking to the Kohanim. Why? Because yes, I am a human being with a bad inclination. And I have different temptations. I have bad character traits as well. Some that I was born with, some that I acquired from my surroundings, and some that are a result of the times that I failed doing the right thing and strengthen the negative energy inside me. So how will I prepare myself to the giving of the Torah? I have to know Hashem on a deeper level. The night, one night, tell the other night, knowledge. Knowledge of Hashem. Now, let's see how knowledge of Hashem is helping me to do it. What does it mean, knowledge of Hashem? We all know that there is a God. So, does this take away the possibility of committing a sin? Of course not. We know that there is a God and we do things that we shouldn't do. What does it mean to deepen the knowledge of Hashem? It means to know that everything and anything comes from Hashem. Now, we know it too, but we know it to a certain extent in our brain. Not all of it is in our heart. Because if we are really internalized that everything, everything is from Hashem, it's really the cure for our bad character traits. Why? If I know that what I have and what I don't have is what happens to me and what doesn't happen to me, it's all because Hashem wants it to be this way. And if it happens via people who have choice, but it happens to me and not to somebody else, it's because Hashem wants it to happen to me. If the people did something wrong to me, they are responsible towards Hashem. And they have also to ask forgiveness for me. But I go through it not because of them, but because that's what Hashem wants for me. So if this is the case, I have no reason to hate them, to be angry at them, to fight them, to be jealous of them. If they have more than I have, if they achieve what I wanted to achieve on my account, they took away an opportunity from me, I shouldn't be angry at them. I should criticize what they did and say what they are doing is wrong, and they have to ask me for forgiveness, of course. But the fact that this opportunity was taken away from me is not because of them. It's because Hashem wanted it to be for reasons that he knows. If I believe it fully and completely, the character traits of hatred, of jealousy, anger, and so on will disappear. So, being that we are creatures with different character traits, with a bad inclination that are influenced by others, can cause us to do things that we shouldn't. So, what is it that we try to do in those 49 days that we have to work on our character traits and prepare ourselves to the giving of the Torah? To deepen our knowledge of Hashem. The more we know Hashem, the more perfect we will be able to be, and the more we'll be able to develop our character traits. And that's why, when the Jewish people came to the giving of the Torah, our sages tell us they were perfect. The Torah tells us they were perfect. King Solomon says, in the name of Hashem, Kulach yafa ra'ayati, ve'ein bach mum. All of you is beautiful, and there is no blemish in you. Meaning, we reached perfection. At the time of the giving of the Torah, physically, we got healed. Everybody who had any blemish, physical blemish, was cured. And spiritually, we came back to the level of first man before the sin. We were perfect. Why so? Because at the time of the giving of the Torah, we saw Hashem in a way we never saw him before or after. As we say, the Torah says, and we say it whenever we go to read the Torah in the on Shabbos, right, or a holiday, right? We start a prayer before, when we take out the Sefer Torah, we say, Ata horeta ladat ki Hashem hu ha'elokim ein od milvado. You were shown that Hashem is God, the only God, and there is no one besides him. At the time of the giving of the Torah, our sages tell us Hashem opened up the seven heavens and the depths of the earth. And we saw that there is nothing besides him. Now, it doesn't mean just physically. What it means is that everything that blocks our eyes from seeing was taken away. We can lift our eyes up to Shamayim, but we don't see Hashem. We see his handiwork, as we said in the chapter, but we don't see Hashem himself. We open up the earth. We might see wonders there. There is a whole life underwater, inside the ground. I remember once going to a museum and there was a cut in the ground and there was a picture of all that is happening inside the earth. And you discover a whole world, right? Of minerals, of creatures. You can see the handiwork of Hashem, but we don't see Hashem himself. At the time of the giving of the Torah, the Jewish people were shown that besides Hashem, there is nothing, that Hashem gives existence to everything and makes everything happen. And if Hashem won't be in the picture, there will be nothing. Everything will cease from existing. Such knowledge of Hashem tells me, whatever happens to you or doesn't happen to you, whatever you have, whatever you don't have, is coming from him. And at the time of the giving of the Torah, we understood why. This knowledge is taken away from us. Otherwise, we want a free choice. But we can strengthen this realization over these days and hopefully after as well. And in this way, we overcome all the bad inclinations, all the bad character traits that try to tell us that things come from other people, that we suffer because of others, that they have what we should have, and so on and so on. Okay, so we can turn the night into light via the counting of the Omer. And even while we are yet listening from time to time to the bad inclination, like these people, the Jewish nation, after coming out of Egypt, after seeing so many miracles, they still had to internalize it and work on it day after day and grow again and again while being in the darkness and not to be discouraged by the failures. To understand that it's part of the process of growth. We had a bad inclination. We were put here in darkness in order to create the light, and we are given a whole lifetime for it. And it's okay that sometimes we fail as long as we get ourselves up again and start again. Then we fulfill our purpose. So the time of the Sfirat HaOmer is a very encouraging time because it tells me that I don't have to be perfect. I have to desire to be perfect, but to work in realistic stages, slowly, slowly, and internalize that I am here for one purpose, to turn darkness into light. Now, if I have a bad character. Hard to channel it. I can be depressed, especially if I see people that have it so easy in this field and have such difficulties. And everyone obviously has his own difficulties and his own strong points. So I see other people who don't have to struggle to conquer this character trait. It's natural for them. And I'm working so hard and I'm not yet where they are. I can be very desperate and give up. But if I know I was created to deal with my unique darkness and I can turn it into light. So when I am standing in front of a challenge, I tell myself, 1 minute, this is my darkness that can be turned into light. Not easy, it won't happen overnight, but one candle changes the situation of darkness in a very significant way. A whole room is in the dark, total darkness. One match, and the whole situation is different. And even if it's a match for a moment, after it turns off, I already can manage better in this room because I've seen for a minute. And I know already more or less what's happening here. It's dark again. I'll create another light. And in the second time, it will give me more knowledge and more possibility to navigate myself in the darkness till I'll create total light. It doesn't mean that the darkness will be easy. I'll still have to struggle, but I'll know I can. I know that every effort that I put in is making me closer to my goal, and I feel good because I achieved something. Even if I fall back, I achieved something. I'll try again, and the more I'll try, the more the darkness will disappear. This is in terms of character traits, and this is also in terms of what happens to us as individuals and as a nation. We are now in very dark days, spiritually and physically, all over the world, right? You can look at it and say, what will be? It's terrible, and it is terrible. There is so much pain. But if I understand that this pain is put in front of me by Hashem, and it's a call for creating light in whatever way, and we can see examples of light that is created from the darkness. I was so moved yesterday when I read that the hostage, right, that came out of Gaza yesterday, right, when his mother came, right, to meet him. Before she, her first words were the following. Before I thank Netanyahu and I thank him, before I thank Trump and I thank him, I want to thank Hashem. And she read Mizmor LeTodah chapter 100 in Psalms. And she said, this gave me the strength all through the almost 600 days that my son was in captivity. Here is light out of darkness. Now, the pain is terrible. He couldn't even walk when he came back. What he suffered was unbelievable, but it created light. Why did he have to go through it? We don't know. One day he will know and we will know, right? But we can despair. And if I know that it's darkness that is here to create light, I know what to do. So I'll pray for all of them. I'll give charity for all of them. I'll help other people for their merit. I never despair because I know that it's Hashem who put it in front of me. And we are moving towards total clarity, the same way that the Jewish people moved towards the giving of the Torah and then they got full clarity. The same way we are walking through history towards the day that is considered a day that is all day. No night. Karev yom shu yom velo laila. We say it on Pesach night. Bring close the day that all of it is day, no night. On a spiritual level, of course. When we totally see everything, and then we'll understand why everything happened to each and every one of us. Why didn't things happen to each and every one of us, and the same to the Jewish nation and all of humanity. And But our job today is to desire this day and try to create, to turn our darkness into light. Okay, we'll stop here and apologize again. I was told that my battery is almost gone and I thought it's attached and I put in the wrong, one into the plug. So it happened despite it. So I'm sorry for. Okay, questions and answers.
Before we open, let me just make an announcement. This class is Le'ilui Nishmas, Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha, Bas David Mordechai. All right, ladies, you should be able to unmute yourselves.
Thank you, Rebbetzin, beautiful share.
Thank you.
What I want to know is I didn't get though the connection with Mizmor 49 with Tehillim 49. Why do we say that? How is that connected to the
Okay,
darkness?
it's 19, chapter
19.
19
19,
in
sorry, yes.
Psalms. Chapter 19 tells us how we can know Hashem. Two ways, one by looking at nature and one by learning Torah, right? This will tell us, give us the light, right? Is this clear?
Yes,
So
yes.
let's go further. Let's go further. The Midrash took one pasuk that speaks about the fact that one day tells the other, one night tells the other knowledge, right? And the Midrash interprets it as one borrows from the other, as we explained, right? The day borrows from the night borrows from the day, but it's done peacefully, meaning they have no challenges. Whatever they have to do, even when one takes from the other, it's peaceful. They don't need to write an agreement before a document before they borrow. They don't go to court because there are arguments about did I return, didn't I return? But this is not the reality on earth. On earth, they interpret the pasuk, "Bechol ha'aretz yatzak kavam." On earth, there is a lot of writing of documents before. And still, there are a lot of arguments at the end in courts. Did you return? Didn't you return? Meaning it indicates to me the difference between heavenly creatures and human beings, because human beings have a bad inclination. And it hints to me that if I want to overcome the bad inclination, I have to know Hashem, as the chapter tells me. There are two ways to know Hashem. Know Hashem via looking into nature, and know Hashem by learning Torah. And when you know that everything comes from Hashem, you don't have arguments with people because you know that everything comes from Him. Is this clear?
Yes, because I'm
Okay. Now,
looking.
let me go further. I didn't
Go
finish. I
ahead.
just ensuring that you understood till now. Now, in our week's portion, it's written to tell the Kohanim, and then the Torah repeats, tell them, right, twice. So what the Midrash explains to me is, we are human beings and we have bad inclinations. So it's not enough to tell us one time. We have to hear another time. Meaning another time, in other words, being that I have a bad inclination, I have to work on myself and understand that one time hearing, one time knowing, one time doing is not enough. I have to go through a process of growth, these ups and downs, till I'll know Hashem properly. Is this now clear?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you
And this
very
is done
much.
in Sfirat HaOmer, right? That's why we count 49 days, not one day.
Yeah, and it
Okay.
says Yaducha Amim Hashem, Yaducha Amim Kulam. So that is repeated twice. It's repeated
Right.
twice over there. Okay.
Right. Very
Beautiful.
nice.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yes, connecting
Go
to
ahead.
You talked about, my question is, yes, no, having knowledge of Hashem, we have moments and glimpse, but why can't we carry on, in time, in the duration? Why do we have moments of we
Okay. That's
it's
your question.
like, why don't we have consistency once we know? We know, but why do we tend to forget and fall again into the despair and why it happens to me, why, you know.
Okay, so as long as we are alive, we are challenged. That's the purpose of life, to be challenged and to overcome. And it's not an easy story. So consistency is one of the things that we aim to accomplish. And it's not easy. And it's written that one of the reasons that we are not successful in consistency is because we undertake too much. We have to want to do everything eventually in the proper way. But as we said, we are human, right? And we have many obstacles on the way. So it's better to take one small thing and be consistent than undertake a lot and not be consistent. Okay, so we have to check where are we holding, what's the next stage, and take upon ourselves one thing that we want to work on. But I want to add something else. Even when we fail, right? We start on a high, we fail, we fall, right? The fact that we tried once helps us the second time to be able to start from a different place. Okay?
Right, you
And
talk.
I want to add one more thing. Many times, the moment of clarity are a gift. Hashem wants to encourage us to advance. So he gives us a taste, and it's his accomplishment, not ours. He gives us a taste of something higher. He enlightens us. He gives us clarity. He gives us enthusiasm just to give us the taste. And then, so to speak, he disappears. But being that we tasted already the higher level, we would like to be there. Hopefully, it will encourage us to start working on our own. I'll give you an example. The famous example that is given for it is a parent teaching his child to walk. So what do you do? In the beginning, you take the child, you hold his hands, and you walk with him. But the goal is that he'll be able to walk on his own. So at a certain point, you distance him from you a little bit. You don't hold him, you just encourage him, come, come, right? And he'll fall and get up and fall and get up, but finally he'll learn how to do it. Okay? Okay?
Yes.
Okay, and anybody else?
Yes. When did the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer actually start taking place? Isn't it after we were in Eretz Yisrael and we had an Omer, Karban HaOmer
No,
to
no,
do?
no. I think the counting was right away. When they came out of Egypt, they started to count. It's an obligation, right? Connected to the offering of the Omer, this was already in Eretz Israel.
Because that would have been many, many years.
Right. But still, every year they counted towards Shavuot, even though they did not have the Omer like we do. We don't have the offering, but we still count towards Shavuot.
Right. We're following what with the traditions, what we're given. Now, it was so beautiful when you said what a gift it is and a glimpse. It happened to me. All I know is I was working in a school, a Jewish school, and the director either couldn't find the money for us, or we really were sure that she wasn't doing enough to find money for us. And so many negative feelings for this person because she never apologized. She never said, "I'm so sorry. I wish I could pay." Nothing. And people were grumbling. They were talking about suing. And one Hashem put a thought in my mind that she's not the one that's in charge of my parnasa. I told my workmate, I said, it was like it changed my life. Just this Hashem gave it to me. No, I mean, I didn't come by myself. And all of a sudden, I didn't have any bad feelings to her. I said, she has her own cheshbon with Hashem. She has to deal with Hashem. Hashem did this to me. He's in charge of my parnasa, and she's got her own. All of a sudden, I look at her. I mean, I haven't worked there for a while, but it was such a revelation that changed my outlook on so many different things that I thank Hashem every day for that experience to develop that. And also, I'm a
Beautiful.
Kohen, and even a pregnant Kohen's wife can't go to a cemetery in case she has a boy in there. So it was very interesting that.
Yeah. Thank you. Nice example. Okay, anybody? Okay, so have a good week.
Thank you
And
so much,
we'll see
Jessica,
each
for
other in a
sharing.
big event session. Call to. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nasimcha.
Have a good
Call
week.
to.